hands carved into the wall. Blinding pain exploded behind his eyes, and his knees buckled, but he didn't fall. It was as if his hands were glued to the ones on the wall. His mouth opened to scream, but no sound came out. AJ was shouting, as was the mechanical unit, but the pain running through his body blinded him to everything but the sensation. His skin rippled. It burned. His eyes were bleeding, or it felt like they were. His bones ached. And then the pain stopped. The nanos he'd not been able to see seeped out of his pores, coated his skin, and began to knit together over every inch of his body until he was covered in a blanket of metal. A helmet formed around his head, the visor not only allowing him to see, but to access information. Heat signatures, life signs. He could tell you what the walls and the dirt in here were made up of. His hands were released, and he felt the metal bending with him. Not stiff and hard like the metal the mech units were made up of, but soft and pliable like skin. Holy. He looked at his brother and whispered something he never thought he'd say. The coolest words ever. I'm Iron Man. Chapter 17. AJ. AJ wasn't really sure what to think about the drawings on the cave wall and what it meant for his brother. It shrouded the future of his team in mystery. What he did know was that it was well past time to report to General Breaker at the den. Even as AJ stood marveling at the nanite armor encasing Remy, worry laced each thought. He's in it as far as you are now, AJ thought to himself. There's no going back. Remy stood with Unit 2, marveling at the armor encasing his body. He looked down at his arms and legs, rotating each appendage with awe. Are you seeing this? Remy asked AJ. Oh, I'm seeing it all right, AJ said, taking in the dull gray armor circling his brother. We've got to call all of this in. I've waited too long already.
Yeah,
Remy said, still focused on the metallic armor that enclosed his entire body. There wasn't an inch of him that wasn't covered in whatever metal the nanites used to build the full body jacket he now wore. AJ stepped outside the cave as Remy began rattling questions off to Unit 2.
Can I fly in this? Can I shoot things from my hands like my brother? How do I shift back into normal form?
AJ stepped just outside the cave. The bleak wasteland opened up in front of him. There was no sign of danger as far as he could tell. Snow-laden clouds rolled across the sky, giving way to trees heavy with the same fluffy white substance. The ground was covered with it. AJ reached for his comm to report in.
Den, this is Marine Space Corps 2. Come in, AJ said.
While he waited for the response, he grappled with the idea they hadn't even been on the planet for a day. Or at least he didn't think so. He was tired and weary, but the brightness in the sky had not changed to resemble any kind of night.
Marine Space Corps 2, this is the Den, a voice AJ didn't recognize answered. Go ahead.
Lieutenant AJ Cole calling for General Breaker, AJ said.
Stand by, the voice replied.
The general is en route.
Roger,
AJ nodded, even though the person on the other line couldn't see him. A few moments ticked by, giving AJ time to gather his thoughts and figure out how to let the general know exactly what happened. His story was so unbelievable, it was difficult for him to wrap his mind around it. How was he going to expect the general to do so?
AJ, this is General Breaker.
General Breaker's familiar gruff voice crackled over the comm unit.
Go ahead.
AJ related the events he and his team survived since their arrival on Dextrax earlier that morning. He told the general everything in as much detail as he could remember, from the loss of life of half their unit, to the meeting with the Imperial Coalition, Alpha Prime, and now the turn of events encompassing Remy. When he was done, he let out a long sigh. He almost felt sorry for the general, having to unload on him like that. For the general's part, he remained quiet while AJ spoke, soaking in the information.
Sir, are you there? AJ asked.
I'm here, General Breaker answered.
The Imperial Coalition and this Alpha Prime, do you believe they are the allies and weapon that will aid us in defeating the Sarkans?
I do, AJ said, after a brief pause of his own. At least that's what all the roads are pointing toward. And they want you to aid them in defeating their own enemy before they're willing to help us defeat the Sarkans? They're in a war here, in no position to offer help unless we give them a hand, AJ answered. I think between what Remy and I can do with our talents, along with the rest of the squad, we should be able to get the job done. I don't think we'll be needing backup on this one.
Understood, General Breaker said over the comm. You have a green light on the mission if you think you'll be able to secure these allies in the next few days. We can't afford to lose anyone else. We couldn't have afforded to lose what we already did.
AJ understood what the general meant. The members of their unit that were already gone had been too great a cost. It was because of their sacrifice AJ felt compelled to move forward and complete the mission. I'll speak with Alpha Prime as soon as possible. AJ cleared his thoughts before continuing. We'll get a plan together to defeat their enemies.
Godspeed. General Breaker ended the call. Breaker out.
AJ heard the comm line click close. That was it. He had his orders. He looked back to where Remy stood with Unit 2, still asking questions and marveling at the armor covering his body.
Hey, you ready to roll out? AJ asked his brother.
I mean, can you even roll out in that thing?
Check this out, Remy said with a grin, as the nanites creating the armor over his body receded into his skin again.
A second later, he called them back, as the silver liquid formed the armor over his body again.
Cool, huh?
Yeah, that's one word for it. AJ looked up at Unit 2. Is that safe? I mean, nanites coming from his body, through his skin, over and over again?
They're a part of him now, as much as his left hand or foot,
Unit 2 said, motioning with an open arm to take in AJ's body.
Is it safe for you to stretch one leg in front of the other or extend an arm?
It doesn't hurt at all, Remy said, going back and forth between the armor and his normal state. It feels like shrugging a jacket off and on, really.
We need to get back and speak to Alpha Prime, AJ said to Unit 2. I have orders from my superiors. We're going to help you with the civil war you have going on here. The sooner we get started, the better.
Understood.
Unit 2 practically ran to obey. He moved out of the cave, motioning the two to follow him back to the craft.
You don't know what this means. We've been awaiting some kind of outside interference to this whole conflict for so many years. To finally have an end in sight is unbelievable.
Well, it's not over yet, AJ said as he and his brother followed in Unit 2's wake. Movement on the horizon caught AJ's eye. The sky drew AJ's attention. The amount of light spilling down hadn't altered, but the quality of the clouds rolling in from the west was changing quickly. The sky thus far had been filled with heavy gray clouds. What came in now was a rush of dark, nearly black clouds, crackling with lightning. The new menacing weather raced toward them.
Unit 2? What's that? AJ asked, pointing to the sky.
Oh, no,
Unit 2 answered, transitioning his gait to a full run now.
It's a power storm. I did not anticipate one coming in so quickly. Even with my advanced capabilities to play the odds and predetermine the weather, it seems I was wrong.
It's okay, Remy consoled the robot. Weather forecasts back on our planet get it wrong all the time, too.
AJ, along with his brother in Unit 2, sprinted for their craft now. As much as he wanted to, AJ couldn't take his eyes off the quickly approaching storm. Dark purple lightning bolts were coming down now in sporadic intervals, striking the ground with harsh cracks of voltage. Each strike sounded like a high-velocity weapon discharging at close range. Crack! 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 The storm came for them faster than anything AJ had ever seen. It seemed like it was trying to reach them, as if someone or something controlled the storm and sent it after them on purpose. Unit 2 maneuvered the craft over the snowy terrain like a seasoned professional. AJ and Remy took the pair of oversized seats behind Unit 2. The windows on either side of the craft afforded them a view of the approaching storm. It was nearly on top of them now, a kilometer away and closing. AJ could feel his gut twist in his stomach. This was an enemy he was powerless against. No weapon or show of force would be able to battle the gathering storm.
How is it moving so fast? Remy asked in disbelief as the angry clouds rolled forward, closing the distance.
That's not possible. Power storms are a phenomenon on Dextrax,
Unit 2 answered.
They come quickly and violently, but do not last long.
And if we get struck by one of those purple lightning bolts? AJ asked. How strong are they?
Each bolt has the ability to kill us in a single strike.
Unit 2 answered as calmly as if he were stating the color of his armor.
If we are hit, we are all dead.
Wonderful, AJ said, shaking his head. Just once I'd like to not be running for my life. The craft sped forward with the storm behind them catching up. Meter by meter, it closed the distance until the angry clouds were overhead. Crack! Crack! Purple lightning bolts struck the ground on either side of the craft. The hair on AJ's head rose in light of the amount of static electricity.
There! Remy shouted, pointing a finger forward. There! The wall!
AJ turned his eyes to look out the windshield in front of them. Sure enough, the colossal ice wall appeared in the distance. With the promise of safety so close, AJ realized they were never going to make it. Already the clouds passed them. Purple lightning pounded the ground all around them. Any second, a rogue bolt would hit their craft, killing them all.
I have an idea to speed us up!
AJ unbuckled himself and went to the rear of the small craft.
Unit 2, open the back doors!
AJ, what are you doing?
Remy shouted. Trust me, AJ said, and looked at the back of Unit 2's head.
Unit 2, the back doors, now!
Unit 2 must have done some calculation on the probability of them reaching the safety of the wall. Whatever the result was, Unit 2 didn't like their odds, because he obeyed. The back doors of the craft opened from the middle. A ramp lowered to the ground, while the upper portion lifted in an angle.
Crack! Crack! Crack!
The sounds of the thrusters, coupled with the lightning strikes, combined into one horrible cacophony of sound. AJ lifted his left arm, creating a thruster of his own. In his mind's eye, he changed his arm into what the rear engine of a jet would look like.
AJ, I don't know if this is a good idea,
Remy warned him.
It's all we got,
AJ screamed back. He moved to a kneeling position, with his back against the rear of the seat he was just in. This way, he could point his weapon out of the rear of the craft and still have support for the force that was about to leave his arm. An alien planet with a robot at the wheel turning your arm into a freaking rocket, AJ thought to himself. Why not? Chapter 18 AJ AJ used his right arm to support his left as he powered up the thruster. The thruster he created basically looked like a bazooka coming out of his arm.
Here goes nothing, AJ said out loud.
A blaze of force erupted out the opposite end of the bazooka, pressing AJ's back into the seat behind him and forcing the craft forward. The force that ran through his arm and the rest of his body was too much for his non-nanite limbs to take. Pain exploded in his left shoulder and arm.
We're pulling ahead,
Unit 2 said.
Almost there!
Remy was by his brother's side a moment later. The nanite armor covered his body. He took a kneeling stance next to his brother, also pressing his back against the back of the craft seat. He took AJ's arm in both his own and relieved the pressure, slamming AJ into the back of the seat. AJ would have said thank you if he had any breath to spare. As it was, he was barely holding on to consciousness at the moment. The pressure the thruster at the end of his arm created was draining him, along with the agony of his body being stuck between the force of the thruster and the ship. A second later, the power storm overhead disappeared. They were in the safety of the tunnel inside the wall. AJ allowed the thruster on the end of his arm to power off. He slumped forward. He wasn't sure when he started sweating, but rivers of perspiration were running down his forehead and down the back of his neck.
You okay?
Remy asked, concerned. The nanite armor he wore receded back into his skin.
AJ, talk to me.
Panic laced his words.
That sucked,
AJ said, allowing his arm to transition back to its normal state.
I'll live.
Remy exhaled with visible relief painted on his face.
Shall I prepare medical attention for you when we arrive?
Unit 2 asked from his seat at the controls.
No, AJ said, wiping the sweat from his face. I need to talk to Alpha Prime as soon as possible. We have the go-ahead from my commanding officer to aid you in this civil war of yours. The sooner we end this conflict, the sooner we can unite against the Sarkans.
Understood,
Unit 2 said.
I'll signal ahead and inform Alpha Prime. I can have the rest of your team join you if you like.
Yes, AJ said. Both Rambo and Jones had extensive knowledge of how battles were fought and won. Perhaps even Jael would be able to give them some insight. There was more to the young Sarkhan Empress than met the eye. AJ was sure of that.
He needs food, too, Remy said, looking at his brother sideways. Unit 2, can you arrange that?
Certainly,
Unit 2 answered from his seat, without turning his armored head.
We don't have much on this planet suited for your species consumption, but I think we might be able to find some dingrats and blumberries.
AJ looked up at his little brother with a raised eyebrow. Remy mouthed the words, "Dingrats and blumberries?" AJ was too tired to question the food, and to be honest, his stomach had been rumbling even before he used his energy to create the thruster. He was starving now. Unit 2 navigated them through Alhandra to the same building where they had first spoken to Alpha Prime. Rambo, Jones, and Jael were waiting for them just outside of the massive doors. The entrance to the building pulsed blue with the same lines of circuit-like coating. AJ stumbled out of the craft, supported by his brother.
What happened?
Rambo ran forward to steady AJ.
I'm good, AJ lied.
In all honesty, he just wanted to eat his weight in carbs and pass out like a dead man. But there were things to be done. Duty called.
Are you sure you're good? Jones asked.
Yeah, we got permission from General Breaker to assist the Imperial Coalition against the Pritory, AJ explained to them as they entered the building. It's time to get this show on the road and form a plan.
Understood,
Rambo said, reaching out to help support AJ.
As soon as we have a plan ready to roll, we should take a beat to rest and recharge. None of us are going to do anyone any good if we can't react to threats. I don't think this planet has a night, either. We've been here for almost 18 hours, and it's still as bright as it was when we arrived.
AJ knew Rambo was right, not just about the sun cycle on the planet, but about needing rest. It was important for him to get the plan in place with Alpha Prime. But after that, they should all rest. Inside the building, the same blue glow pulsed along floor, walls, and ceiling. Alpha Prime, in his holographic form, stood waiting for them.
Unit 2 informs me you ran into a power storm,
Alpha Prime said as they entered.
I'm glad you arrived safely. Sustenance for you is on the way.
Thank you, AJ said. We have word from our superiors that we are to assist you in this battle you fight with the opposing sentient artificial intelligence. I need to know everything you know about their location, their strength, and assets.
Very good.
Alpha Prime motioned to the doors behind AJ and his team. This will be a good time for you to restore your health through food. I'll tell you everything I know. AJ turned to see two more robot mechs enter the door, each with a different kind of tray. On one were mounds of what looked like orange grapes. The other was piled high with steaming chunks of meat that looked like the remains of a hybrid chicken fish. The aroma coming from the steaming meat was disgusting, even to his rumbling stomach. The stench was akin to something that had gone bad in the refrigerator.
Please eat,
Alpha Prime motioned toward the two platters of food that were placed on the ground beside Marine Space Corps 2. Unit 2 motioned with his hands, manipulating the metal the room was made from like the smart metal in their own quarters. A thick square rose from the ground to act as a table. Five smaller cubes around the table also rose from the ground to serve as seats. AJ moved along with the rest of the unit to take their seats. Jones shrugged off the pack he was using and placed their own rations on the table. Most of what they brought with them was lost in conflict when they entered the planet. What was left were three protein bars and a bottle of water. A third robot mech entered the room with a huge steel container of water. It placed it on the table with the rest of the group. To everyone's surprise, Jael was the first to daintily help herself to the mystery meat and fruit. She took a delicate bite of the meat, smacking her lips.
Delicious, she said, and looked at Alpha Prime. Thank you.
Of course, Alpha Prime answered. Please, please, everyone eat.
Delicious must have a different meaning where you're from, Rambo said,
grabbing a handful of the fruit, as well as one of the steaming hunks of meat that smelled like garbage.
"Hmm, fruit's not bad," Jones said, popping one of the pieces of alien fruit into his mouth. "Kinda tastes like a date, and an apricot had a love child."
AJ eyed the remaining bars they had, but it was obvious what he was gonna do. Not only did he not want to seem rude, but their protein bars should be saved for times on the go. AJ reached to serve himself some of the fruit, along with a serving of meat. Unit 2 maneuvered his hands around. As if on cue, steel plates and utensils appeared out of the metal table in front of them. Metal cups came next. AJ popped one of the pieces of fruit into his mouth. Jones wasn't far off on his description of what the fruit tasted like, except instead of an apricot, AJ would have said pomegranate. Looking across the table, AJ saw Rambo take a tentative bite from her meat. Her eyes grew wide before she stealthily lifted her right hand to her mouth to deposit the food back on her plate. She caught AJ looking at her. She grimaced and shook her head. AJ couldn't help but chuckle at her expression.
"While you eat, I'll begin," Alpha Prime said, looking down at the table of his new allies. "I'll tell you everything I know of their base, numbers, and weapons. The Pretori, as you have seen, are similar in physical structure to our own forces. They have set up their base less than a day's travel from this location on the top of a mountain. They chose this location because they can see us approach from a great distance. Their number is exactly the same as our own, down to the very warrior."
"How can that be?" Rambo asked. "How can you two have the same exact number of soldiers, or robots, if you've been fighting this war for years?"
"When we awoke from our sleep, each of us managed to capture a foundry. The foundries allow us to create soldiers, or robots, as you call them," Alpha Prime explained. "Over the years, we've each tried to build as many units as we can to overwhelm one another, but it's pointless. We are evenly matched in skill. When one side tries to build more, the other side just matches their number."
"That must be so frustrating to be locked in this tug-of-war for so many years," Jael said.
"It has been a test of patience," Alpha Prime answered. "We've discovered there is no point in escalating troop production. The only change we have been able to make is increase our weapons stock."
"But to what end?"
"Our weapons are cutting edge on both sides, but we only make more and more troops when others fall."
"Does that mean when this conflict ends, you have the ability to manufacture thousands, even millions of robots?" Remy asked excitedly.
"That is correct," Alpha Prime answered.
"What would you estimate their strength being at the moment?" AJ asked. "What would happen if we killed their own artificial intelligence?"
"They should not have more than a few thousand at the moment," Alpha Prime answered. "There would be no logical reason for them to have more unless they were preparing for an attack, and the weather does not dictate this is the most optimal time for an attack. If you were to neutralize the enemy artificial intelligence, their system would go down. However, this would be very unlikely."
"Why is that?" AJ asked.
"The enemy artificial intelligence is well protected by both natural and artificial means," Alpha Prime explained. "We have tried to kill or capture one another over the years to no avail. It has been an act of futility."
"Well, you haven't had us over these last few years you've been fighting," Remy said from his seat at the table. To AJ's surprise, his kid brother popped a piece of the dark meat into his mouth, chewed, and swallowed.
"You have an idea?" Alpha Prime asked, eager to know more.
"I think I may have a way for us to sneak into their base and get close enough to this enemy artificial intelligence to put it down for good," Remy said, clearly enjoying dragging out the moment.
"Well, are you going to tell us or what?" Jones finally blurted out.
"We're going to set up a distraction with the Imperial Coalition forces," Remy grinned, "and then we're going to walk right through the front door."
Chapter 19. Remy.
"And just how do you plan on walking through the front door?" Jones asked, the sarcasm heavy. "You know,
The one filled with lasers that will cut you to ribbons like that room from the Resident Evil movie?
Dude, please. Lasers can't touch me. I'm Iron Man.
Iron Man? Rambo asked with a brow lift.
Oh my gosh!
Remy jumped up, completely ignoring his disgusting food. Unit 2 had helped him work out how to bring his armor to the surface. It was just a matter of wanting it really bad. And honestly, who didn't want to be Iron Man in a bad way? Within seconds, he felt his skin heat up, and the nanos start to surge to the surface, forming the metal casing around his entire body. His field of vision turned into something he'd only seen in movies. Readings of all kinds danced in his visor screen like an overlay. He could still see everyone just as plainly as before, but there were now statistics, readings, and anything else he could ask for.
Coolest thing ever.
What the?
Jones stood up so fast he knocked over the metal chair he'd been sitting in.
Surprise! Remy laughed. Cool, huh?
All eyes turned to AJ. His brother shrugged.
I don't know much either.
Jones came over and poked him. He felt it. This armor was like a second skin, but he had yet to test to see if stuff could hurt him. If he could feel Jones poking his arm, maybe it wasn't as cool as he first thought.
Hit me, he told Jones.
The Marine shrugged and hauled off and slammed his fist into Remy. Jones let out a howl of pain, but Remy barely registered the sensation. His screen, however, told him everything about it, from the speed of the punch to the force with which it hit. His suit adapted and kept it from touching him. It registered as a threat, whereas the simple touch from before was anything but a threat. Rambo looked impressed and slightly disturbed.
How did you get a metal suit of armor?
The nanos, AJ explained, and went into detail about the cave and what happened when Remy touched his own image. We think there was some kind of technology left in the painting that helped to activate the nanos fused to his internal systems and his bones. The ancients knew he was coming here and left him the ultimate Christmas present.
And a way for us to get into the fortress undetected,
Remy added, grinning even though no one could see it. He thought for a moment, and the helmet receded, but the rest remained. He was finally starting to get warm since landing on this planet. The suit seemed to know his body temperature needed to stay at a certain point and kept him warm. Thank God for small miracles.
Explain, AJ said.
Well, I was thinking about how we got to the cave. The cloaking technology. Unit 2 said that not even he could detect the craft when it was cloaked. So, why not incorporate that into all this? And I can walk right in while you guys distract them. I know more about computer language than anyone here.
Absolutely not, AJ said, his voice full of command.
Why not?
Remy asked. Frustrated, AJ dismissed it without even thinking about it.
It's too dangerous.
Iron Man here,
Remy waved to his new armor. Even Iron Man gets hurt, AJ said, refusing to back down. We'll figure something else out.
His plan has the highest probability of success, Alpha Prime spoke up.
One person is less likely to be detected. Even a small force would be seen, but one person, cloaked and invisible?
Don't they have systems to read life signs and all that? Cloaked or not? That is not how our cloaking technology works,
Unit 2 spoke up, cutting Rambo off.
It hides everything, including the heat signatures and electronic circuits inside it.
We don't know anything about that suit, AJ said. It could fail at any time. As you've pointed out so many times before, you're not a soldier. You haven't been trained for a situation like this. What happens if you get inside and that thing fails? You're all alone in there, surrounded by thousands of enemy mechs with nothing to protect you. No, Remy. You're not doing it.
Remy felt his lips curl up in a snarl.
Aren't you the one who signed me up to play Soldier Boy without asking me? And the first time I try to do something to be just like you, you tell me no?
Yes.
Anger boiled up, but he beat it back. He didn't want to hurt anyone by accidentally unleashing whatever it was he did back on base.
That's not fair.
No, it's not, AJ agreed.
but I am your commanding officer, and I am telling you no. You will do as you're told. Or what? Or you'll be left here under guard until we do this.
His mouth dropped open.
I'm your best shot. You think you are, but you're not in charge here, Remy. I am. And you just said I'm no soldier. I don't say how high when you say jump. I won't take orders from you.
Jones stepped between them.
I think we need a timeout.
Remy wanted to argue, but Jones pushed him outside. He turned on him when the door closed behind him.
Why?
Jones put a hand up.
Had that been anyone besides your brother, you would have been backhanded.
Oh, is that what happens in the military? Remy snapped. Disagree and they hit you?
You don't get it, Rem.
Jones shook his head.
It's not about the disagreement. It's not about the order. It's about respect. And some of the things I've heard you say are disrespectful not only to your brother, but to every soldier who goes out there and puts their life on the line for your safety.
I respect them.
Do you, though? Jones asked mildly.
Of course.
Then why are you dissing them, man? You keep going on and on about how they're all mindless and follow orders blindly. Do you think they don't question those orders?
But they follow them.
Yes, they do. They do it out of respect for their CO, for their unit. It all boils down to trust and respect. We have to trust each other to stay alive, and part of that is following the orders of our CO.
Remy shook his head.
Rules are made to be broken.
Jones smiled sadly.
You're young, kid. You haven't lived. You haven't lost. You aren't old enough to understand what happens when you don't follow orders. In the field, people die. Orders aren't given just to be given. There's a reason for it.
It doesn't feel like a reason, Remy grouched. He didn't listen, even after Alpha Prime said it would work. He shut me down with no conversation.
He's our leader, our CO. Our lives are in your brother's hands, Rem. He takes that responsibility to heart, especially yours. Do you think he'd ever forgive himself if something happened to you under his command?
But it's our best shot.
Maybe. But it's not our only shot. Me, Rambo, and AJ. We've been through enough battles to understand that. Sometimes the obvious answer isn't the right one. And the best shot, as you put it, could end up costing us more than we're willing to pay.
How could they not see this? He could slip in undetected and bring down the defenses. He'd done it thousands of times in games. He snuck in the back doors of programs undetected all the time. It was what he was good at. They needed someone who understood the computer programming. If AJ and the crew went in without him, how are they going to disarm the defenses and work around the enemy programming? Sure, the good mechs could probably do it. But then again, if they were all busy dying on the field, and let's face it, they were too tall to not be noticeable, how are they going to win? It was AJ who wasn't thinking things through. He just looked at him and saw his little brother. AJ was the one who'd forced him into the soldier business. At least he could let him have a voice and not shut him down without at least discussing it. He didn't want this life. Didn't want to be stuck obeying blindly. He thought maybe he could do it. But if this was what this life looked like, he didn't want it. Nor did he dismiss what Jones was saying either. He respected soldiers. He did. He knew what they did took courage and sacrifice. Remy was proud of his brother and what he did. But at the same time, it wasn't what he wanted for himself. And AJ took that choice away from him. The least he could do was give his ideas and thoughts some attention. If he'd done that, and then said no, it wouldn't have smarted so much. Or it could be Remy had an issue with authority. He always had. As a hacker, he challenged himself all the time to get away with things he knew weren't quite legal. It was an ingrained need to rebel with him.
Why don't we go in, settle down, and listen to AJ's plan?
You go on. I want to think for a few, okay?
Okay, but think about what I said, yeah? AJ is our commanding officer, and you can't be talking to him like that in front of the other soldiers back at the den. It'll cause him to lose respect.
I don't care how mad you are. Don't do that to him. He deserves better.
Remy nodded and watched as Jones went back inside. He turned to look out over the massive steel city that blended into the environment. He did feel bad he'd let his temper loose in front of everyone. He treated AJ like he would if they were home in their parents' house arguing. He understood AJ was the CEO of this expedition, but he couldn't get past the whole brother thing. AJ wasn't treating him like a member of his team. He was being his big brother, protecting him from harm. It wasn't the soldier who didn't want Remy to walk into that fortress. It was his brother. And as angry as he was, he couldn't fault him for that. They'd always tried to protect each other growing up. He'd idolized AJ, and he guessed part of him thought AJ didn't think he was good enough to do this, that he wasn't as good as AJ. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't trained. He was just a hacker that got into a little more than he should. He played video games, hung out with his friends, and was an overall millennial. But that all changed when AJ committed him to this life without asking. Again, this was to protect him and his dragons, and even Hank. He knew his brother had the best of intentions, but he had to learn to let Remy do the job. A job he didn't want and didn't ask for. But it was what it was. But how to make AJ understand everything he was feeling without getting it to a knockdown, drag-out fight? AJ wasn't going to budge, and he wasn't going to take Remy's needs into consideration when he went into big brother mode. It would be a useless effort. But maybe he could show AJ he wasn't the little kid anymore. Yeah, that was exactly what he'd do. He'd go ahead with his plan. By the time they realized he was gone, he'd already be halfway there. Casting one last look at the building they were all holed up in, he set out for the hangar where the transport vehicles were kept.
Chapter 20. Remy. Remy stuck to the sidelines, ducking between buildings, and did his best to stay out of sight. It wasn't nearly as hard as everyone made it out to be. Then again, he was probably like a bug to these giants. Some were like Unit 2571, around 10 feet high or so, but others stood closer to 15 or 20 feet. He would not want to meet them on the battlefield. The cold didn't affect them anymore. The suit kept him toasty warm. He still marveled at how much it was like a second skin, bending and twisting fluidly. That was a big improvement on a traditional armor suit, which was made of hard metal that had no give. Maybe he could even get this thing to fly. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever? Now was not the time to try it out, though. Getting inside the hangar proved a little trickier than sneaking over here. Mechs milled around everywhere, going about their tasks with brutal efficiency. AJ might be right about them being the weapon they needed to defeat the Sarkans, who could come up with who knew how many soldiers. Sarka had been crawling with soldiers. They almost didn't get out alive the first time. He did not want to fight them without backup. He slid in just as one mech went out, using his massive height to help hide him as he stuck to the shadows along the walls. There weren't nearly as many of the robots inside as there were outside. Two lingered by an open doorway that might have been a garage entrance or an office. Remy couldn't tell from his hiding place. As long as they didn't come over here, he was all good. It only took him a moment to find the transport vehicle they'd used earlier. He shot a quick look toward the mechs, and then made a mad dash for the vehicle. Once he reached it, he squatted and took a deep breath. The one thing this entire Sarkan adventure had taught him was that he was grossly out of shape. Sitting on his butt all day in front of his computer was going to have to change. Being able to outrun the enemy was more important than his leaderboard ranking in all his games. Wincing when the open door made a whooshing noise, he glanced to see if the mechs heard it. They had their backs turned and were busy with their own tasks. He let out a sigh of relief and got in, closing the door as quietly as he could, and made his way to the pilot seat.
A panel as alien to him as any of the species he'd met so far greeted him. Well, how was he supposed to get to the Prittery stronghold if he couldn't even get the thing to start up? How hard could driving it be? He'd played more racing games than he could count. He considered himself an expert with a driving wheel. It didn't matter that he technically didn't have his driver's license yet. Did it? Nah, it was all good. The words were sort of familiar, the same language that was written on the buildings. It was a simple code. He studied it, and before long, the foreign symbols started to merge into a pattern, and that pattern became decipherable. Codebreaker Cole, that was him. Happy with his small success, he set about studying the controls, which were extensive, and he needed to figure out how to engage the cloaking technology before he started the thing up. Once the engines were on, the mechs would be on him faster than Kanye West verbally ripping on Taylor Swift. Okay, it couldn't be that much harder than a video game, right? They were pretty accurate these days, as far as what looked real. They're video games, Ram, he reminded himself. Video games do not equal real life. What he was most interested in was the cloaking technology. He had to figure out how to integrate it into his armor. The armor appeared when he touched the painting. So maybe he could touch the controls and focus on the cloaking ability? Would the nanos understand what he was trying to learn? Only one way to find out. He retracted the armor from his hands and placed his flesh against the vehicle's control panel and concentrated on what he wanted. He visualized it, and within seconds, the armor wrapped back around his hands. But instead of just staying there, they funneled into the panel and spread out, studying the electronics and looking for an answer to his question. It was the strangest feeling. Even though his hands weren't on the bowels of the electronics, it felt like they were. It was him in there plucking around, searching through lines of code, keeping what was important, and discarding what was irrelevant. He should be terrified. But he wasn't. He was thrilled. Remy had always dreamed of being a superhero, and this suit gave him that in real life. How could he be scared when that very real possibility lurked in his future? There. He sensed it as soon as the nanites found it. Line after line stretched out before him, and he absorbed it all. The nanos learned and adapted his suit. Heat shimmered along his body, and when he looked down, there was nothing there. They'd effectively shielded him. Holy crow. Not only was he Iron Man 3.0, he was invisible. These nanos were freaking awesome. He took a moment to bask in his success, and then turned his attention back to the vehicle. Code he could read, but learning to drive one of these things? Nix that. Learning how to start one up was going to be difficult. As he stared at the controls and tried to figure them out, he realized something. To turn on the cloaking tech, the thing needed to be powered on first, which meant alerting everyone to what he was up to. He'd have way less time to get to the fortress. But he had to try. AJ wouldn't take him seriously unless he proved his ideas had merit. He went through his checklist for flight simulator and found it oddly resembled what he had in front of him. Taking a deep breath, he pushed the button marked Engine. The deep vibrating purr of the engine sprang to life, and both mechs whipped their heads around to stare at him. His eyes widened when they started running toward the vehicle. He fumbled to the cloaking sequence, but he got it turned on, and then he grasped the flight wheel and pushed it forward, only to fly backwards right into the mechs. Okay, lucky break. The doors to the hangar bay started to close, and he yanked the steering stick backwards. The vehicle shot out of the opening, and he let out a sigh of relief. Will Smith had nothing on him. He shook himself and worked to get the craft off the ground and into the air. Its purr had gone deathly quiet, and as he maneuvered, knocked at the buildings, to the front gate, he let out a sigh of relief to find the doors open. The mechs were unloading massive trucks full of what he thought was the smart steel they made things out of.
He got the vehicle out of the city and into the open air beyond.
He did it.
He actually did it. Laughter bubbled up and he roared. He wasn't useless. He could do this. People just had to give him a chance. He told the vehicle where to go, remembering the coordinates Alpha Prime gave them. Thankfully, he'd paid attention to Unit 2 when he operated the vehicle, or he wouldn't have known about the voice-activated GPS. The enemy fortress was close when flying at top speed, and it didn't take long for him to reach it. Like Alpha Prime said, it sat high on top of its own mountain, looking down at anyone trying to get in. How the heck was he going to climb a freaking mountain? What if AJ was right, and the suit failed them? But what if it didn't? That little voice that always got Remy into trouble whispered, "You'd be a hero." He pulled the glider, as he was calling it, to a stop inside the trees at the base of the mountain. He summoned up the nanos and imagined his suit going invisible. It obeyed without question, and he grinned. He got out of the vehicle and made a note of where he left it. He'd need to find it later. The mechs would not take kindly to him losing something of theirs. Shutting it off wasn't an option. He thought the shielding might go away if he turned the power off. Besides, he might need a quick getaway. Well, time to climb the mountain. And halfway up, he was nearly collapsing. Definitely had to get into shape. Jones would laugh if he could see him now, panting for all he was worth. Another reason to do this alone. Remy's suit was picking up all the security measures that had been put in place around the mountain. It helped him to avoid tripping any alarms, for which he was grateful. The place was wired up better than Fort Knox. By the time he reached the massive black fortress that rose hundreds of feet out of the ground, he had to stop and catch his breath. He took a moment to study his surroundings. The castle wasn't necessarily black, just a dark steel color that glinted darker, making it appear black when it really wasn't. Weapons graced the wall that surrounded the castle. Big, massive things that looked way more dangerous than anything Remy had seen before. They looked like they could blow a hole through the giant mechs. Or a tank. Yep, those things could take down a tank. He'd bet money on it. Now, how was he going to get in? The walls were solid, and he saw no opening whatsoever. He pushed off the tree he was leaning against and started to walk the perimeter of the wall. About halfway around, he spotted a transport truck loading timber. His way in. Remy carefully made his way over to the truck and hopped into the back, squeezing himself between some loose logs and the side of the truck bed. It wasn't comfortable, but it would do. He wasn't sure how long he stood there, waiting, but as soon as they started to move, he grew excited. This was it. He was going inside. No muss, no fuss. They were letting in a Trojan horse without even realizing it. They'd never seen him coming. He'd get to the main control room. Neither Alpha Prime nor Unit 2 ever mentioned anything, but there was always a master control room where you could observe security, monitor readings, and overall, be your own little overlord of your personal city. This he knew from playing city management games. Laughter floated to him, and he frowned. Were these mechs laughing? Surely not. They were machines. When the two units came into sight, they were carrying a load of logs and talking excitedly in a very feminine voice. Both of them. Were the Prittery women robots? Or as close as one could get? Maybe what these two warring factions needed were to meet. He didn't know a lot about women, but he did know they could make a guy do crazy things to try and impress them, and they could lighten your day. Men had an innate need to protect women. It went back to the caveman age. Something he'd learned in school. The women robots seemed happy, and the guys seemed almost bored of life. If putting them together could bring about fulfilling needs neither knew they had, it might put a stop to this war. But it came down to what Eon did to their programming, and he'd need to get his hands on that to check. Not an easy thing to do,
But he was well hidden, and he knew he could get the code to talk to him, to do what he wanted it to. Or at least he hoped so. The truck started up, and he settled back to wait and form his plan. It was about to go down.
Chapter 21 AJ.
It seems like your brother did not wish to wait, Alpha Prime said from his seat next to where AJ and the rest of the team ate.
I should have known.
Shouting from outside confirmed what AJ was thinking. Anger and frustration boiled to the surface. AJ leapt from the table. He ran outside the building to see the mechs in the area sprinting for the tunnel leading it to Alhandra.
I know he's young, but I didn't think he was stupid, Jones said, running a hand through his dark hair. AJ, I'm sorry. I thought after I spoke with him, he was off the ledge. I didn't think he'd do this.
AJ closed his eyes for a moment. He took a deep breath in and out. He couldn't let the love he had for his little brother put anyone else in jeopardy.
You okay? Rambo asked.
She stood next to him so close, their hands nearly touched.
We'll get him back.
I know, AJ said.
His mind was already running with possible scenarios and what needed to be done now. It seems Remy took a craft from the hangar bay, activated the cloaking sensors, and headed for the Pritchery Fortress, Alpha Prime said, joining them at the entrance of the building. The sentient AI was careful not to step outside where the hard light emitters would fade. If he did so, he'd lose his physical form.
We need to go after him, Jael spoke up. He's just a child in many ways.
We will, but we'll go with a plan.
AJ did everything he could to hide the panic and anxiety he felt. If anything happened to his brother, he didn't know what he'd do. He was the one that got his brother mixed up in all this. He was the one who had suggested they take the hunting trip together when they discovered the Sarkins in the first place. Remy was in all this because of him.
The best thing we can do for him now is to create a distraction, Alpha Prime suggested. If the Pritchery are concerned with us, perhaps they will not see Remy infiltrate their compound. We're gonna need weapons and a transport to the Pritchery base, Rambo said. She didn't move from her close proximity to AJ. And a clear game plan.
Alpha Prime. AJ looked back at the large robotic AI looking at them from inside the building. Will you be able to have weapons and transport available for us in 10 minutes? We should meet at the tunnel out of Alhandra with a sizable force ready to march.
Your requests are already being fulfilled as we speak, Alpha Prime answered. What you ask will be done in 5 minutes.
AJ nodded his thanks. One of the many things the Corps had taught him was to look past his emotions when it came to a task that needed to be done and focus. Remy meant everything to him, but standing here now, thinking about all the things that could go wrong, was going to get him nowhere. He needed to come up with a solid plan of action and steps to execute the plan.
Jones, Jael, grab our gear and meet us at the gates, AJ said, moving to look at Rambo.
Rambo, run ahead and see what kind of weapons the Imperial Coalition has that we'd be able to use.
Roger that, Jones and Rambo said as they ran to obey.
Okay, Jael answered, as she too was off with Jones to grab their gear.
You've dealt with this enemy for years, AJ said, looking up at Alpha Prime. I need to know how they'll respond to a show of force. We need to cause a distraction, but there's no need to put our soldiers in harm's way unnecessarily. Our engagements in the past have ranged from full-out assaults on each other's bases to battles taking place on the land between our factions, Alpha Prime answered. They'll see us coming from kilometers away. The odds say they will send a force to meet us, as they have before. They'll send out exactly the number of soldiers to combat our own, and we will fight to a standstill as we have for so many battles before.
Except this time, you have an ace up your sleeve. AJ reassured Alpha Prime. Marine Corps 2 is here to tip the scales in your favor.
Yes, Alpha Prime nodded. Yes, you are. Whatever you need, or whatever your plan entails, we will follow.
I will have Unit 2 and Unit 2571 accompany you on this mission. They will give you whatever you require.
Thank you, AJ said. To turn the tide of battle, we'll have to do something they won't expect.
That will be difficult, as their own AI is as careful and calculating as I am, Alpha Prime warned.
So we'll have to think out of the box and come up with something that the AI could never account for, AJ said, staring off into the distance as an insane idea formed in his mind. He turned back to Alpha Prime.
Thank you for your help. I need to get back to my men.
May the fight be swift, and your victory soon found, Alpha Prime answered.
At the same time, two mechs came and joined AJ. AJ recognized them as Unit 2 and Unit 2571, although their armor and the blue light coming from their visors was similar. Unit 2's armor was a bit more retro and worn than that of his counterpart. Unit 2571's armor was shiny and new, the blue glow coming from his visor brighter and full of life.
We heard about Remy, Unit 2571 said. We're ready.
Come with me, AJ said, beginning a slow run to the front gates. The larger mech units barely had to jog at all to keep up with him. Jones and Jael fell in with the group. They carried the few items of their gear that were left.
Alpha Prime is assembling a fighting force for us now, consisting of 200 mechanized units,
Unit 2 informed the group.
There is no point in bringing more or less, as the Pritchery will only match our number.
It's tactics that will win us this day, Unit 2571 confirmed.
And the element of surprise, AJ answered. This whole time, these battles have been so thought out, calculated, and recalculated. We need to throw a monkey wrench in the machine, and I think I know how we're going to do it.
I'm not sure what a monkey wrench is, but if we have anything similar to that animal on Dextrax, rest assured we will capture the animals and throw them at the Pritchery machine,
Unit 2571 said.
No, a monkey wrench isn't an actual animal, Jones corrected the mech. It's a term for... Never mind. It's just a saying we have on our planet.
I, too, thought we were going to kill physical animals, Jael said.
We're not killing anything besides Pritchery mech today, AJ reassured everyone. He was going to say more when they arrived at the front gates of Alhandra. AJ's breath escaped him in puffs of steam. It was cold with a chill wind. Despite this, the sight in front of him warmed him from the inside out. The Imperial Coalition and their army was a thing of wonder. Mechs, five rows deep, stood with their backs straight at attention. AJ didn't realize there were various-sized mechs until this moment. Two of the mechs standing at attention ranged a good 5 feet larger than their counterparts. They all stood facing AJ, ready to be given their orders. Rambo stood by a craft to the right of the intimidating army. Around the craft were various crates of weapons she was going through as she determined what was small enough for them to use as weapons.
Make sure your soldiers are ready, AJ told the two mechs traveling with them. I'm going to check in with Rambo to see what we can use.
Understood,
Unit 2 said. Unit 2571 just nodded. The pair of mechs moved forward to their own lines. AJ, Jones, and Jael continued on to where Rambo stood with her hands on her hips. She wore a frown on her face AJ had grown accustomed to. The sniper was deep in thought.
Do I even want to know? AJ asked.
Probably not, Rambo answered.
As far as I can tell, even their smallest weapon is going to be a cannon for us to handle. You'll be set with that Swiss Army knife on your arm. Jones can probably handle one of their smaller weapons, but Jael and I are going to be out of luck.
Maybe I can work with one of the mechs as we travel, Jael piped in. These weapons the mechs use to fight aren't much different than the ones the Sarkans use. My brother made them, after all. I think we can work with what they have here and fashion weapons for us.
Can you do it on the go? AJ asked.
I think so, Jael said.
All right. AJ looked over at the small craft next to the weapons. It was the same model he, Remy, and Unit 2 had taken to the caves. I think I have an idea.
Is it dangerous? Jones asked.
Definitely,
AJ answered.
Count me in, Rambo said.
Me too,
Jael chimed in.
You know I don't got plans tomorrow,
Jones grinned.
Plus, I'm starting to like that little smart-mouthed brother of yours. He's something like a chihuahua barking up